So glad that you're here with us this morning. I want to thank the band for leading us in worship today. I want to thank Mike for he just keeps getting better and better. Every one of his things, we're going to have him preach sometime, and he just gets up here and just delivers. Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate that. And the band, it was a really, really good morning. Before we get into our lesson and we send the kids back, just a second, if you'll hold on, want to give a couple announcements, because at the end we're going to have some baptisms, and so we just want to go right into those at the end. So what we'd like to do today is kind of get all that housekeeping things taken care of right now at the beginning. So first of all, I want to remind you that today after the service, if you could do this for us, this would be a really big favor. If you could remove the chairs and set them up along the side, tonight is our first youth group, and they'd like to use the room tonight. And so if you would remind yourself to do that at the end, I'll try to help you do that too. But stack the chairs along the edges. That would be greatly appreciated. There is youth group tonight. There is no youth band. The youth band is still on hiatus. Some of the kids are still a little bit in quarantine from that, some of those. So please keep them in your prayers for that. On April the 4th, Easter, we're going to be having an Easter egg hunt after the service. And so we're asking you to bring in eggs and candy. If you would do that in the next couple weeks, please, there's a box out there, and you can put your items in there for that. March the 22nd, there is a community meal going on. We're going over to the Cove. If you would like to be a part of that and like to help, we'd love to have you. We cook a meal, about 150 meals. We take them over, knock on doors, and give folks that meal. And that's the 22nd. If you, Hillary is still not able to be with us, but she'll if you have her number, please text her, or maybe today see Brandy. See Brandy, and she can get you some information about that. March 27th, we're going to go down to camp and open up camp. We're going to have camp this year. We're so excited about that. Easter Sunday is our first registration for camp. We didn't get to have camp last year. Very excited about that. So please remember that. If you can go and help us get camp open, it's the 27th. And then the last thing is, as Brad comes on up here, grab your thing there. I want to make sure that online and people that you know, starting today, we have a new website. It's called impactfranklin.com. The same address that we've always had, but there's a new website. Brad has been doing the website. Brad's been physically putting it together for a couple months now, and today we're launching it. And he's going to tell you about the capabilities and why we're excited about it, not just because it's a new website, but because of some of the things it allows us to do. So, Brad, go right ahead.
Hey, all. Good morning. The time zone really got me today, right? The shifting of the clocks. So, we launched this new website, as you can see here. Here's the home page. The big updates is it's an enhanced content management system. So, it can take advantage of a lot of new things like videos and, just a lot of new high-tech things. We want to have a really good forward look to, people coming to us for the first time. And so what you see here, and I have a laser pointer. We can look here, but if you look here, you've got a menu of different things about us. You've got like an about section, and you can meet Jeff and the elders and the support staff. You can watch online. We'll look at that soon. You can give online. And currently, that's the same approach that we're doing now with Clover Give. Someday we may look at changing that, but right now it's the same. Mindy, if we scroll down, let's look at, you can see there's a lot of different links and things. There's a lot of all the stuff that's happening with this, like the news and the events. You can see all the small groups, the children's ministries. You can continue to see all the sermons that Jeff and the team are giving, the speaker notes, as well as video and audio. So there's just a ton of new, I think, features with this. I think that the immediate takeaways are being able to watch online from here, a little bit of a bug today on it, but watch online from here, and then also to be able to give online, it might be a little easier of experience. So we'll have a lot of new features and things in the future. Again, as people come here, maybe for the first time, we want this to be a great way to learn about our church and all the great things we do. So thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you. This, so many people do not have Facebook, and they do not are not using it. And so we want to be sure that we have another process to get that our service out. And many people watch our service online, and so we're very excited to have that and thankful for Brad being able to be a part of that. Let's go ahead and dismiss our children and our teachers at this time. We're so glad you guys are here. See you later. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, we're so glad you're here. On your way out, let us know that you're here, and we'd like to at least say hello to you, and are glad you're here. Many of our folks are starting to come back after the COVID this last year. Isn't it funny? I think it was about a year ago right now that we were starting to figure out we were going to have to shut down. I think it was next week, a year ago, that we actually shut down. But, wow, what a difference a year makes. Whew. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you. And what a privilege it is to be a part of your family, the family that sits in these seats, the family that sits at home today watching us, those that are sick, those that are struggling. God, we just pray for them, that you'd meet them. God, for those that maybe today are having a hard time with loss, maybe those that are having a hard time today with belief. God, maybe there's some here today, some watching, that their faith is just pretty thin. It's wearing thin. And God, they don't even know if you're real sometimes. And so, God, I just pray that you'd make yourself known through these next few minutes. Thank you for this great worship we've had. And just continue on as we look at the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in a series called It's All About the Grace. And last week I introduced a stupid song that kind of had the parody on Meghan Trainor's song, It's All About, you know, It's All About the Grace, and some of you loved it, and some of you were like, what? And so it was a good way to get you to remember that what we're talking about is grace. And so as we lead up to Easter, it's always good to really think about and dwell in on grace. And so we want to do that today. But today we're going to talk particular about grace and guilt. And so I want to read a story to you, and then we're going to get right into it today. Two men were on trial for armed robbery, and an eyewitness took the stand, and the prosecutor got up to begin his questioning of these two men, and he asked the eyewitness, he said, were you at the scene of the robbery? And yes, answered the two guys. And you saw a vehicle leave at a high rate of speed? Yes, they said. And he said, did you observe the occupants, asked the prosecutor, and he said, yes, we did. And the prosecutor, in a booming prosecutor's voice, said, and are those two men in the courtroom today? And at that point, the two defendants raised their hands. They both sealed their fate. Of course, they admitted that they were the two that were there at that place. And today I want to kind of use that as a jumping off spot for us, for all of us today, to be able to raise our hand together and say, I admit that I'm guilty. I admit that there's things that I do that are wrong. My temper gets the best of me. Words that come out of my mouth get the best of me and hurt other people. Thoughts that I think in my head, they are horrible thoughts. Some of the things that I do repeatedly, even though I don't want to do them, I do them time and time again. James says it this way in James 2:10. The person who keeps every law of God but makes one little slip is just as guilty as the person who has broken every law there is. We are all guilty. We all have our hands raised this morning. So let's deal with this together as we approach today this thought of guilt and grace and how those two work together. Let's recognize, I believe, that God has an answer for guilt and grace, because many of us, we deal with guilt and we deal with it poorly. We deal with that guilt and we don't always let grace come in and cover those things that are so important in our life. So what's the difference between real guilt And what's the difference between a kind of a false guilt? Now, those are that's the question that's before us today. And so let's just jump right into that. What is guilt? Well, the word says in Psalms 38:4, it should come up here. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden that's too heavy to bear. Some of you understand this. You understand this guilt because you do things that you don't want to do, but you continue to do them anyway. You know they're wrong. You know they're hurtful. You know that they bring bad things into your life, but you continue to do them anyway. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden that's too heavy to bear. And when it gets to that point, sometimes some of us just shut down and we don't listen to our guilt and we just push forward. Some of us, we ignore that it's even there. And some of us, we act out in other ways. Every one of us knows what it means to be overwhelmed by that feeling of guilt. You know that sense that you just... You did it, you go, oh, it's not like Britney Spears. I did it again. It's more of a, I can't believe it. I didn't want to, I did it. And this shame and this horrific burden comes down on top of us. So the question I have today is that the way God intended for us to handle guilt? Did he intend it for this be this huge burden that just weighs us down and drives us to just not have to think about it, that drives us to take pills and booze and food and whatever it is that our little comfort deal is and just mask it all out? What is that? Is that the way that God really meant for us to do? Well, the purpose of guilt is to make us feel bad. We have to start there. The purpose of guilt is to make us feel bad. Guilt is actually a warning light. It's a warning light that says, hey, Jeff, something's not right with you and God. Something's not right with you and the universe. Something needs to change. There is a problem, Houston. Let's handle it. But the truth is... If something's wrong, we need to fix it. And many of us do. I told this story. I told a similar story about my dad. It was a telling story. I think it was about 8 years ago. I was looking back at some things that I talked about here. And one of the things I talked about my dad that was always special was that my dad would drive junk cars, always drive the junkiest junk cars. And he would drive them until they just didn't drive anymore. And then they did it back at the campground, and Dad would want to bury him or do something to get him out of the way. But he would, when the engine check engine light would come on, my dad would take gray tape and just put it right over there because he didn't want to deal with it. He's like, well, just it'll go away. You know, I got a wool in there, so it'll do its thing. We laugh at my dad, and that was funny, but a lot of us today, the warning light's on. The warning light is kind of flickering, and it's going like this. And some of you need to listen to that light because you do feel guilty, and you see it, and you go, maybe I should do something about it. Maybe I should do something about it. Maybe I should. No, I'll just put some gray tape over it and let it do its thing. That warning light is saying something to us. It's saying to some of you, you need to spend some time with God. It's saying to some of you, you need to get this healed. It's saying to some of you, you need to repent. It's saying to some of you, man, what's going on? What's really going on in the heart? Because your heart is what guides the whole mainframe of everything of who you are. And so it's a warning light when that guilt comes and you go, oh, it overwhelms you and you have to do something about it. There's two different kinds of guilt. I'm going to be real rudimentary in this because it's important to do that as we talk about this. There's two basic kinds of guilt. The first kind of guilt is the real deal. And we've all dealt with real, genuine guilt. It starts when you're a kid, you know, you break a window. And you immediately, what do you want to do? What you want to hide? Did you throw that ball through the window? No, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. You know, you're standing there with the ball, and you're, no, I didn't do that, you know. And so we understand that real deal guilt that goes, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And then there's the false guilt. And false guilt, I believe, is from the other guy. It comes from the devil. And I think he takes when we do things wrong, and he just heaps on coals on us, on top of us. And I can't tell you how many people that I've dealt with over the years I've heard people say something like, I had this overwhelming feel of guilt, and I just feel so ashamed, and I don't want to talk to anybody about it, and I don't really know what to do about it, and I don't know what it comes from, and I can't put my thumb on it, but I just feel horrible, and it feels bad and yucky. If you're dealing with false guilt, you're probably sending yourself a lot of mental tweets, and these tweets say something like, well, you never get anything finished, and here you're never going to do anything right, you know. And you've been disappointed people from the time you came out of your mom's belly, and that's foolish. Those are foolish tweets, but our mind does that, and it sends us. And so what it does is it brings this image of who we are to ourselves, and we go, well, that's just me. I'm always going to be a screw up. It's just me. I'm always going to do the wrong thing. That's just me. That's who I am. Galatians 3:3 says it like this. Listen, church. Listen to Galatians 3:3. You begin your life in Christ, church, when you were brought to God and he was in you and you were put in Christ. You did it by the Spirit. You started living by the Spirit. Now you're trying to make it complete by your own power. And that's what guilt, false guilt is. You're trying to make yourself complete. You're trying to make yourself okay by your own omission, by just stuff of yourself. And so what we do is we get busy and we don't want quiet and we always want to be going. We always got to be on the go. And that doesn't allow us time to deal with that guilt, that real guilt, and do something with it and allow us to heal from it so we don't do the same thing time and time and time again. That's why so many of us struggle with that one thing. And we just keep struggling, and we keep struggling, and we keep struggling. Those are all signs of false guilt. When that happens, what you do is you feel far off from God. And you don't feel like God's going to forgive you, because people don't forgive you after you do it about three or four times. You know, you mess somebody over three or four times, and pretty soon they don't trust you. They don't trust you. So you know what we do? We put that on God. Yeah, he doesn't trust me. Yeah, he probably doesn't like me very much either, because I'm that person that does this, this, and this. That's who I am. See, and that's never of God. That's from the other guy. So we have to know the difference between false guilt and true guilt. How do I know if it's God who's speaking to me? Or how do I know if it's not some, you know, Sister Ann from the parochial school that you grew up in? Or it's not, you know, Pastor Bob from some fundamentalist little church that told you this and that and this and that. How do you know? How do you know if it's a real guilt or if it's a false guilt? I think it comes down to one basic thing. And if you want to write something down, I say you might write this down. Is the focus of your guilt, is it people or is it God? Is the focus of your guilt, is it people or is it God? False guilt comes at the result of judgments and suggestions of men. It always comes at the heat of other men and women in your life who make you feel a different way or a certain way. If you're struggling with false guilt, you're going to find yourself striving for approval. You want people to like you. You want people to say, hey, good job. You want good, keep, and see, God never intended that for the church. He intended for you to have to please an audience of one. Make God happy and let everybody else go. And then God works on everybody else. I worry about what God thinks, not what everybody else thinks. But in the world that we live Isn't it true? We all worry about what everybody else thinks about us. Well, I'm a bad mom. And then guilt comes on. Look at them. Oh, my gosh, they actually sew. They cook. How can that? And then this guilt just comes in, and it overwhelms us. See, that's false guilt, because you're comparing yourself to somebody else. You're comparing yourself to the person you need to compare yourself. All that matters is God. That's what I want to tell you today. That's what I've came to tell you today, is that you just have to worry about what God thinks about you. True guilt comes as a result of divine judgment, what God thinks about you and the situation. And Kelsey and Whitney and the band today told you what? God is gracious. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He is compassionate. He does not want to put his thumb on you and say, you stupid little brat, like some of your folks did, like some of you are doing to your kids today. God is gracious, and he's compassionate. He wants the best for you every day in every situation, whether you believe it or not. Whether things in your life tend to make that go, whether they're not adding up, and you look and you go, my life is in the dumpster. It's a dumpster fire. It's rolling down the road. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. So is it a focus on God, or is it a focus on people? Now, here's a couple of things that we got to get into before we get into it's all about the grace, because we got to deal with guilt before we get into grace. Now, so what are some wrong ways of handling guilt? Well, here's a couple of wrong ways of handling guilt. If you go back to the light on the dashboard thing, what you're going to do when the light goes off is you've got to take a mental note of it and say, something's not right. How do you handle it at that point? It's amazing how we have all these common ways of handling this guilt that comes into our life. When we do actual bad things, we do wrong things, we have unforgiveness in our heart, we will not let somebody off the hook. When we have just cussed somebody out up one side and down the other side, doesn't matter if that's just you. That's not just you. That's you being you, and that ain't a very good thing. Wrong way to handle guilt. Well, we get a story in the Bible, in the Old Testament. One of the very first stories that we hear and that we see that God shows us a really good picture of guilt and what to do to handle that guilt when we mess up. Genesis 3, got your Bibles, you can turn there. Or you can get it up on the thing here today. Genesis 3, 7 through 12. Let me read it for you. The Bible tells us that they first sewed their fig leaves together, and they made something to cover themselves because they did something wrong. And they hid from the Lord. And then when they challenged that, Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked, and she gave me some fruit of the tree, so I ate it. There's a beautiful picture of the average church person today, any person who's in Christ, that the way they handle guilt. Three things. We respond by shame. To that point, Adam and Eve had no idea they were naked. And the minute they did something, there was immediate shame. It came on them, and they felt bad about it. They felt so bad about it that not only did they didn't know what to do, they covered themselves up with fig leaves, and they knew exactly where to cover. Think about that. They knew exactly where to cover. You know, you can picture that and go, how did they know that? Because immediately they knew there was something wrong. There was this overwhelming guilt that came over them. Shame does not work. Doesn't work. And so then immediately the next thing the Bible tells us that Adam did is they hid. They hid in the bushes and so that God couldn't see them there. That's really stupid. Hiding from God in a bush? Really? Really, you're going to hide and you're going to put a little fig leaf on it to what? The light on the dashboard was on, and they were putting gray tape over it to see that they didn't want to look at it. It doesn't work. They hid out. They had shame. They hid out. And lastly, this is my favorite. This is where we live a lot today. We go straight to this one almost always. Do something wrong, you know, husband and wife, kids, whatever. You do something really bad, and the other person calls you on it, and what is it? It's blame. Blame. This is such a popular one. It's so tragic because it's so humorous, this story, if you really sit back and think about it. So here's God, sees all, knows all, does all, made every stitch of these people that are sitting there hiding in the bush with little fig leaves all over them. And they start to shift the blame. You got Adam and Eve and the serpent, and God comes and he says, Adam, did you eat the fruit of the tree? Adam took it like a man, and what'd he do? He blamed his wife. Points over to Eve. She did it. Her fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. She gave me the fruit. Eve's standing there in her fig leaves in the bush. Eve's going, serpent. He did it. He made me over there. It was his fault. The serpent did it. First time that we hear that, you know, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Isn't it easy to try to fix blame, to get your way out of wrong things? Well, you know, I needed that fourth glass of wine to, you know, just to calm me down. I need that case of beer just to take, you know, my mind off of it. And okay, maybe, but there's other ways. There's other ways. See, the serpent did it. The beer did it. So easy to blame ourselves out of wrong things that have happened. We all do this. We all do it many times every day. So let's get to the question. It's all about the grace. Okay, there's wrong ways to handle grace. So here's the way you handle it. Here's the way you handle it. Very, very, very quickly, very succinctly. How do you handle grace if it's all about the grace, truly? Number one, the Bible says that we confess our sins. If you look at 1 John 1:9, it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's how we deal with guilt. We don't do it. We just confess our sins. My hands up. I did it. God's way of handling guilt is always grace. It's always grace. So you confess your sins. You say, it was me. It's not just our need. Our sin is, it's what it becomes. It's not just a problem. It very simply is one word that nobody in our world likes to hear anymore. It's this. It's sin. It's sin. And very distinctly, the best way I can put it, what is sin? It's that you got an eye problem. In the middle of sin, S-I-N, is the eye. You want to do you. You don't want to do what somebody else wants you to do. You don't like it. You don't like the way it makes you feel. You don't like it because it's going to be some work. You don't want to do it. So I'm just going to do me. That's what sin is. Going against God. I think I know better than God. I know that if I take this, it'll help me. I know if I put this in my mouth, it'll make me feel better. Right now, I don't care what it does long term. I just want to feel better now. I know better. Confess your sin. I want to say that to some of you today. Confess your sin. For the first time, some of you need to do that. And you maybe need to start with God. Yes, for sure. See, what we do, instead of covering it up, instead of putting gray tape, instead of putting a bush, instead of putting fig leaves, you confess your sin. Somebody here today needs to face up instead of start covering up. Somebody here, you're being controlled by whatever it is, and you're not controlling it. Some of you here are letting things control you, and God says, only I am going to control you. Not sex, not drugs, not gambling. Nothing controls me except God. Oh, I've got it. I've got it. I'm good. Really, do you? Psalm 69:5 says this. God, you know what I've done wrong, right? Right? He does. I cannot hide my guilt from you. No, duh. I can't hide anything from God, but yet I try. That's why so many people stop coming to church. They get mad with the pastor. They get mad at somebody, and somebody, their crosshair with somebody. But the bottom line is that we just, you know, we don't want to put up with it. I don't want to go be faced. If I'm living with my girlfriend, I want to keep living. I don't want some pastor to tell me that it's wrong to live with my girlfriend. I don't want some pastor to tell me that I'm wrong for this or that. It's really not some pastor telling you that. It's God's word telling you that. But you put a face on it. And they're mean to me, and they think this, and they think that. It's like, they don't think that. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. So you confess your sins. God, you know what I've done wrong. There's nothing more difficult than trying to hide something that cannot be hidden. Today, some of you, it's time for the gray tape to come off. It's time to peel back the gray tape. It's time to take the fig leaves and throw them on the fire. And say, God, I want to confess my sin. Another thing that has to happen is the Bible says in James 5:16, not only says confess your sins, it says confess your sins to each other. Woo-hoo! That's tough. Confess your sins to each other. Wow. What does that do besides give the opportunity for that person to go tell somebody else something about that you told them that was really special? Well, it's healing. It's healing. Ask somebody in here who's done that. Can't tell you how many times in my life somebody's come and shared something really, really big. Hey, Pastor, I got an abortion. First time they ever told anybody in their life. You know what? Healing comes when you say that, when you say those things. That's why God tells us to go tell somebody with skin on. It's good to tell God, but it's great to tell somebody with skin on. And lastly, not just tell a friend, but that verse tells us, trust God's character. Trust God for who He is. Many people confess their sins. Most of you have done that a lot. God, take this away from me. And then when He doesn't, we get upset. God, why didn't you do that? You know, I just keep going back to that. We got to trust God's character, to trust God who He says He is. It says in that verse, it says, He is faithful, He is just. He is faithful, He is just. You can count on God. You can count on His faithfulness. The truth is never closer to you than when you get God and feel forgiven from God. Look at His invitation, Hebrews 10:22. Let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience. Is something keeping you up at night? You're having trouble sleeping? Well, there's a lot of reasons why some of us don't go to sleep at night, don't sleep very much, but some of us, there's some guilt. And a guilty conscience keeps us up. And it can drive you mad. And so the last thing I say to you before we do our ministry time today is accept God's forgiveness. Accept God's forgiveness. The Bible says that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, not some, not a little bit, but from all unrighteousness. God takes all. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you did, what you're going to do. He takes all away. So if you're here today and you've already trusted Jesus and believed in what he's done, when you continue to judge yourself guilty, when what God's already said, I judge you not guilty, you've got a problem with God. You've got a problem with God because you're going, but I'm guilty. I'm guilty. No, God says, I judge you not guilty. You are not. You are forgiven. You're forgiven. For some of you, guilt has become sort of a strange best friend in your life, sort of like a teddy bear with fangs. And eventually it's going to get, oh, I love my teddy bear. And eventually what it does is it gets its claws into you and the fangs. And you go, oh, I can't get it off. And it's stuck there. What do I do with that? That's the point at which you have to go to God and say, God, here I am. Go to his people and say, here I am. I trust you, God, and I will stop trying to be you and trying to fix me. Because that's what you can't do. That's what the Bible just said. We're trying to fix ourselves. We're in a self-fix society. And how is that working for us? It's not working very well. We're pretty broken. Whatever the case, I leave you with this, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to watch a song. Psalms 32:5 says this, I finally admitted all my sins to you. I stopped trying to hide them, David said. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. All my guilt is gone. And that's where maybe some of you need to be today. I finally admitted my sins. I finally did. I don't just lie a little. I lie. You know, I just don't take things. I take stuff. I steal. See, it's not little. It's not just because it's just one thing or it's real small or nobody cares or nobody saw. It doesn't matter. It's the S-I-N. I know better. And that's a problem, not with me and me. It's a problem between me and God. I know better than God. God set these things up. I say, I don't care. That's sin. That's sin. As quick, as little as I can put it today, easy as I can put it. Let's pray. Then I want you to watch. We're going to get the lights, and I want you to watch this video by Matthew West. It's called Guilt and Grace, one of my favorite songs that Matthew West does. Then I'm going to come back up, and we're going to take the confessions of two of our sweet people that are here today for baptisms. We're going to baptize them, and then we're going to send you home. Let's pray. God, I pray as we watch this song that we understand that there is guilt, and there's good guilt, and there's bad guilt, and that grace does win. It wins every time. God, let us let it win. Let us trust you again. Let us trust your character. Let us press into you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Watch this for a second. If you're at home, just tune in and watch this. I'll be back up in just a second.
My weakest moment, I see you shaking your head in disgrace. I can read the disappointment written all over your face. Here come those whispers in my ear saying, who do you think you are? Looks like you're on your own from here. Grace could never reach that far. But in the shadow of that shame, beat down by all the blame, I hear you call my name, saying, describe the way it feels when mercy floods a thirsty soul. The broken side begins to heal, and grace returns with guilty stole.
Every time grace wins, every time. God has already defeated. He's defeated. He's taken it away as far as the east is from the west. What a cool thing. Stephen, come on up. Sophie, come on up. And then Angela, you can come on up. And I think Chris is over here already. Where is Chris over there? Yep, come on up, Stephen. All right, Whitney's going to take, this is Sophie. And I remember when Sophie was born. We call her Havala around here. So do you want to be called Havala or Sophie? Okay, both. All right. So Whitney, go ahead and take her confession.
She said Sophie. She wants to be called Sophie. Okay. So this is Sophie. Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Sophie.
You can take your...
Sophie
take
has been asking to be baptized for a really long time.
Sophie, you can take it down.
It all kind of started at church camp.
So you can talk.
Oh, okay. It all kind of started at church camp, and she has had quite an understanding of her faith for a really long time, and she's ready. She's ready. So, Sophie, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? Okay. Sophie, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and do you take him as your Lord, as your Savior, and as your boss?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Great. All right. You can go get dressed. Great.
I'm already dressed.
Oh, all right.
Okay. You're ready
right.
to go.
All right. Go on over. Go on over there, sweetie. Yep. You can go on and go on in that room right there. Angela, you want to come on over? Stephen, I'll let you, this is Stephen, by the way. Everybody say, hey, Stephen. And he's a little older than Sophie. He's, how old are you?
23.
Wow. And this is a cool story. I baptized him when he was 10. And today he comes, wants to start all over again. He feels like it's time that he needs to kind of start over. So I'm going to let him talk about that a second, and I'll take that confession from you, and then we'll let you.